As we read those two portions, we see here that the Christian faith has always been attacked from age to age in this world. And here, the two portions, we see the apostles here writing to the persecuted Christians that had much persecution because of them turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see here in every generation, the devil is always working to destroy the foundation of Christ. And that's what we preached this morning. The word this morning was, resist the devil and he shall flee. And now we see the other side of things, the preciousness of the believer. Well, what is it that the devil attacks? Many people of the world ask, why do you believe that your faith is right? Well, if you're saved here this evening, I'm sure you've come across people that have questioned your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and asking you, well, how do you know that you're right and I'm wrong? There are so many false religions that claim to have the answer, but quickly crumble away and wither away because it was built upon falsehood. And I want to be very clear this evening that if you do not build upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and I tell you, it is false religion. And here we see, to answer the question, the Christian's faith is built upon a sure foundation. The Christian's faith is built upon a sure foundation in which nothing can destroy. And that's why we see from age to age, we see a false religion would come, and then quickly you see it wither away, because there's no truth in false religion. As the devil in this world seeks to destroy the foundation of Christ, I tell you great words of encouragement this morning. We have a precious foundation that is able to withstand any power of darkness in any age, against any great apostasy of this world. And in our context, we see Peter, as we read in 1 Peter, writing to persecuted Christians, and writing a letter of encouragement for them to continue in their faith in Jesus Christ. This was ultimately an encouragement letter to those who were going through hardship. And during this COVID-19, I know that the virus has affected everyone in some sort of way. Well, the Bible tells us to go to God's word, to seek his presence, that he may... that we may cast our burdens upon him. What does Peter do in this context? Peter, he portrays Christ as the chief cornerstone, rejected by some and chosen by others. Now, this was Peter's way of dealing with things, that some in this world will reject Christ and some will come. Well, he teaches them of the unmovable foundation a Christian has. And maybe you've never thought about your foundation of your faith, but this is going to show you what foundation you really have in Jesus Christ. And here it lies at the very foundation of supporting the very building, which are made up of stones. And here Peter is depicting all the believers in Christ. So therefore, let us examine this foundational stone, which Peter explains using material things to depict a picture of the temple of God, showing the preciousness that it is to be embraced by believers. We're still preaching the gospel in the year 2021. Many leaders have gone to destroy the Christian faith by burning the Bibles, by persecuting the people, by implementing false religion. But it's a miracle today that we're still preaching this gospel message, preserved by God himself. And you see here, therefore, this morning, I want to preach to you about the preciousness of the believer. Now here, I have three main headings I want to draw to your attention. The first is, what is precious to the believer? My second is, how does this preciousness relate to the believer? And what is received by this preciousness? So firstly, then, let us consider what is precious to the believer. Well, if you look at 1 Peter 2, verse 6, it is Christ himself, the excellency of Christ. In chapter 2, verse 6, we read, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Notice the words, behold. Notice the words here, behold. I, the Lord. This is the Lord. This is not man here. Behold, I, the Lord, lay in Zion. By what? It is the preaching of the gospel. That's what it is. Whereas Christ is declared and proclaimed in church services, where Christ is lifted up, well, this is the only foundation of the church whereby faith is worked in the hearts of men and women who were thereby actually built on Christ as their foundation in their spiritual house. To you, believer, Christ must be your foundation. Oh, there's many churches that teach many programs and many different foundations. Well, the scripture says that if you're not built upon the foundation of Christ, then you too will crumble. You see here, he supports the spiritual temple of God. Christ, the foundation, supports the spiritual temple of God. And here, as he is represented as a cornerstone laid not by man, but laid by God himself. It's not a religion based on men. But when God comes down and fashions the very stone, that this is going to be the very foundation that men and women will come to have access to God. It's nothing to do with men. You see, to you, child of God, he is elect and precious. While you're standing here in this meeting tonight, surely Christ must be precious to you. You see, God has appointed him to execute this office from all eternity and determined that there shall be no other name whereby any shall be saved. The world teaches another way. The Church of Rome will teach another way. False religion teaches another way. But the Bible says here, there is no other name whereby any shall be saved. God declares his Son precious. No, it's not my words tonight. It's the words of the Savior. Forget about me. I'm just a vehicle of the message. God declares his Son precious. Therefore, you must declare him precious in your life as well and build upon this great cornerstone in which lies an unmovable foundation that you may be able to withstand the storms of life. The preciousness of Christ. As we just read, elect by some, as some believe and some don't believe. The Lord came unto his own, and his own received him not. Christ wasn't precious to the Jews. No. Christ wasn't precious to the Pharisees. Christ wasn't precious to the world, because it was the very world that thrusted the very nails in his hands. You see. To those that believe this morning or this evening, my friend, you cannot put a value on Christ. You can put a value on gold, and you can put a value on a home, and you can put a value on the material things of this world. But what value can you put on Christ? Oh, there's no numerical value. That's your security tonight, you see. The security of those who believe in him. Notice what it says here. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. The world has confusion because they trusted not in the foundation which was laid by God. That's why you see confusion today. But not you, child of God, tonight, because you have the great surety of Christ to come. And a surety that something that it might not come, but it's something that will come. It's a sure hope that will come. None shall be confounded. None shall be disappointed. That's what Peter's saying here. You're not going to be disappointed. You might go through persecution in your life, but if you have this foundation, you will not be disappointed. And my friend, in that time, in that context, it was great persecution. To believe in this preciousness, our Lord Jesus Christ, it is to have union with him. What possible persecution in this life can break your union with Christ? The Bible tells us nothing. Oh, we're living in the times of pestilence and the church seems to be crippled and you see these things that begin to come. But that's not going to separate you from the Lord. The Lord says, "None shall pluck thee from my hand," saith the Lord. You have an anchor both sure and steadfast, the great security upon the building of the foundation of Jesus Christ. And in our context here, Peter was writing to encourage those using the chief cornerstone, elect and precious. That's the Lord Jesus Christ he's talking about. The rock of our salvation in the Lord. And secondly, then, let us look at how does this preciousness relate to the believer? Well, it is by faith. Look at chapter 2, verses 4, 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. And this is by being the foundation stone to his people, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, the foundation of Christ is the foundation stone on which all are built. He is the foundation stone that supports the whole structure. In 1 Peter 2, verse 4, we see Christ that is represented as the temple itself that has all the fullness of the Godhead, proving his divinity. But in all ages, he has been disallowed of men who are blinded by the God of this world. Well, we preached on the devil this morning. Another tactic that the devil have is blinding the minds of them that believe not. He blinds them with the things concerning God they cannot see. Well, it is that light that shines to the believer that he may see the light. And you see, Satan and their own lusts, neither they saw any beauty in him for which was to be desired. Despite all of this, he was chosen of God. From all eternity as only being capable of supporting the weight of this great temple. And so perfectly is he suited. He placed that he is precious to God and precious to all who are built upon him. For this end, the apostle exhorts those who had tasted that the Lord is gracious to embrace the sincere milk of the word and to come continually to Christ in order that they may become edified in their faith and love. And here he speaks using a picture of the materials, used to be building a temple, which draws to our attention, he compares Christ to the foundation stone and believers to the other stones which are built upon it. Therefore, showing that the temple had a relation to them, well, in what? Well, in its foundation. Christ here is the foundation stone on which we are built. The church itself is built upon the rock of Christ. He is the foundation stone that supports the building. Notice that Christ is called a living stone. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ referred to. When Christ referred to himself as the living water, and then he conferred to himself as the living bread, that man shall not live by bread alone. Well, you see here, the living bread and the living water, meaning that he has life in himself, and being the author of life to all who depend upon him. And also by being the living stone to his people. Christ is called a living stone, not only having life in himself, but uplifting those that by faith cling to him. This stone is the same as we see in verse 6. Being about to be set forth, the church is a spiritual building. Christ is the foundation and cornerstone. In 2 verse 5, notice what it says here. Ye also are lively stones. Well, ye are the people of God, which are built upon the foundation, which is Christ. So therefore, ye are the lively stones. Those are other believers. The believer is being brought to life by Christ. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, the stones referring to each unique believer as stones making it up as the temple, as we read in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, 17, that ye are the temple of God. And then in verse 5, it also says, are built up in this exhortation. It relates to the continuing in Christ and growing in the faith. As we see in 2, verse 2, that ye may grow thereby. And then we see in its structure, you who believe this evening are the stones of which the temple is made. Now brought to life. Well, what do you mean by that, brought to life? Well, in your unbelieving days, you were truly a dead stone. In your unbelieving days, Christ was not precious to you. In your unbelieving days, you chose to serve the creature rather than the Creator. As in Amos, it preaches that we are merely the firebrand plucked out of the burning. But as God takes that dead stone and he fashions it into the temple itself, and he saves a man, and he saves a woman, and he's brought to life because of the great work of regeneration. And that's the pivotal time when a man was once dead in trespasses and sin and now is alive in Jesus Christ. But God, who is the great master builder, can take the nobodies of this world. He can take the depths of depravity, and he can take a man and he can fashion him into the temple of God. And that's not the work of men. Only God can do that. The great master builder, as we just read, behold, I lay in Sion. The Lord talking, I lay on Sion. And then we are mere vessels who labor in the footsteps. And he selects these dead stones and fashions them into place, into the spiritual building. And my friend, I've seen many times in the church great men of sin lost in this world on the brinks of death. And I talked to a man once when he came in when I was young, and he said, this is my last stop. He says, I'm going to die if I don't give up my ways. And I told him, have you turned to Jesus? And he said, no, but I hope that the Lord will save me. And my friend, when the Lord changes the very heart, you see the dead come to life. This dead stone come to life by the precious stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us to point number three. What is received by this preciousness? Well, there's great privileges. Great privileges, as we see here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The privileges of the believer. But ye are a chosen generation. You, believer, this evening are a chosen generation that have been chosen of God from the very foundation of the world. God knew you before you were even born. My friend, although the misery of the unsaved is owing to their pride and weakness and wickedness, we must not imagine that the happiness of believers is owing to their own inherent goodness. When we get to heaven, we won't be patting ourselves on the back and says, well, I did a good job. My friend, when you see the Lord, it'll be all grace. You'll say, it's nothing I did. You weren't better than anybody when the Lord saved you. But it is the grace of God that is able to take this dead stone and fashion it into the temple of God itself. You see here, let me be very clear. For the effect of the believer is the effect of God's grace toward them. As you grow in your faith and as you cling to this preciousness of Christ, it's only the effect of God's grace upon your life. And to them, therefore, as we read, the great privilege of a royal priesthood. Believers are also a royal priesthood. They are now both made kings and priests unto God. You, child of God, are chosen of God to reign over your own lusts and to have nearest access to Him in all holy duties. Let me tell you, there is no difference today between Jew and Gentile or between male and female. All are permitted to approach the mercy seat of God and to offer Him spiritual sacrifices of prayer and praise. Well, you being here tonight offering praise to God, that's a privilege. It's a privilege to praise the Lord. And also we see a holy nation. Believers make up the holy nation. All are united under the same King. All obey the same laws. All participate in the same interests. They are all separated by God and set apart for Himself. They are not the world, not of the world, despite they're in it. The believers are only passing through, just like a pilgrim passing through a place, traveling to a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Notice the final words of this verse. Who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Notice what it says there. Who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Well, you must regard how deeply you are indebted to your God. Once you were in darkness, and now by that preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ has brought you into that marvelous light. Those of you who were there this morning, we preached about the light that dissipates the darkness. The light that removes the veil of men that once they were blind and now they can see. It's the same concept here. Once in darkness, now brought into the marvelous light of his gospel. Notice what it says here, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. To take out of the darkness and into the light. And my friend, that's the preciousness. To those who do not see Christ, Christ is not precious to them. That's why you have a world of enmity against God. When you have the mockery of God himself and the scoffers of this world going against God, and you have a time that the persecution of the Christians is great because of the preaching of the gospel. Oh, my friend, when you hear them curse the name of God, Christ is not precious to them. And you see Peter here, what he's teaching is that despite all the persecution that you may go through, we don't know what tomorrow may bring forth. We don't know what's going to come next week. We don't know what the politicians are up to. We don't know what the world is going to come. But this Peter, he's saying, you know the preciousness of Christ. He's saying, you don't know what you have. When these men were burned at the stake for their belief in Jesus Christ, that was a surety. Very hard to die for something that you don't believe in. When Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not, as we went over. That when a man is saved, that's the true preciousness. You see, this morning, this evening, Christ is that foundation given by the master builder God to hold up the church itself. The church is built on anything else except of the Lord Jesus Christ, the preaching of Christ, the lifting up of Christ, the exalting of the Savior, then that surely will fall. My friend, the devil can do anything. He would tear down the preaching of the gospel. That's where he would start. Because the preaching of the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation. This is the preciousness. That when God said, look to him and ye shall be saved. Oh, the devil wants to take that message. My friend, this morning, this evening, we see that it is truly an anchor that keeps the Christian steadfast in the faith. It is not only a surety, but it's something that will come. You will see the Lord. The Lord will come. The second coming of Christ, it will come. It's not something that might happen. It's not something that it's 50-50. It's a surety. That's your surety. That's why you're meeting here this evening. This is my surety of Jesus Christ. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. May it not even cause you the slightest flinch in your Christian walk in this life. We're living in uncertain times. All may crumble around about you. As devils and unbelievers despise him, these are the builders which disallowed the precious stone. The high priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the rulers of the Jews who came with their legality, who came with their religion, who came with their good works, who came with their own way to heaven, disallowed this very stone. And my friend, the duty of the Pharisees and the Jews and all these religious leaders, it was their duty to build up the church. But they didn't build it on the foundation of Christ. No, they crucified him. They crucified my Lord because they failed to see the preciousness. You see here, to you who believe and all that believe in him, as we conclude this evening, may he become even more precious to you. And that's the context of this, is Peter is exalting this preciousness, what you have. This is what you have. There's no greater value than what you have. Remember the great foundation which you have in Christ. Just as the great hymn says, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. The more we love him, the more the preciousness will grow. As we go forward in this world, continuing in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to remember one thing, that soon we shall be in glory with him. May the Lord bless his message to us this evening. Let us end off with a hymn. Let us please end with a prayer and dismissal. Let's bow our heads before God. Our Father and our God, we thank thee, O Lord, for thy word that went forth. We ask of thee, O Lord, that thou would give great love to thy people, and Lord, that thou art precious to us. And Lord, that even as Peter wrote, that behold, I lay in Sion the chief, elect and precious. We know, O Lord, that we are to build upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Save us from heresy, O God. Save the preacher from preaching another gospel. And O Lord, we know that he is precious to us and that no man can lay any other foundation than which was laid by the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for thy Son. We thank you for his intercession for us. We thank you, O Lord, for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you, O Lord, that thou art able to take our burdens. And, O Lord, we do turn to thee at this time. Lord, we ask of thy blessing. We ask that thou would bless everyone here in this meeting. And Lord, we ask of thee that thou would surely pour out thy spirit on these uncertain times. Lord, give strength. Dismiss us now in thy blessing. We ask of all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.